100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everybody. It's the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, celebrating 9 years of stories. That's right, 9 years. I don't know what to say, so I won't say anything. Let's just get right to the weekly challenge, where I posted a topic. The topic is butter. And you come up with the stories and then record them and send them in and blah, 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 blah. You don't want to know all that other stuff. You've read it. You've done it. You've lived it. You've loved it. How about we just get right to the weekly challenge? First up, it's John Musico. Okay, I know nothing that rhymes with Musico. So how about I just, you know, get right to it? Here's John.
Butter. By John Musico. Once a pillar of society, the psychiatrist found himself in prison. He asked the intake officer his roommate's name, who replied, disinterested, simply, Butter. The doctor was greatly comforted that it wasn't a guy with a name like Killing Machine or Psycho. To the doctor's dismay, the nickname proved to be his worst nightmare. For self-preservation, the psychiatrist called upon his skills and drilled into Butter's psyche. The doctor taught that prison rape was a thing of conquest, not sex. The psychiatrist convinced Butter that violence was more gratifying. The shrink was transferred to the medical center, beaten but pure.
Thank you, John Musico. I'm getting my laundry done today. That way it's all prepped and ready. I even know how many hangers I need when I go out to the dryers. 8. 8 hangers, so I can hang everything up and bring it in. No more of this fold everything, then unfold it, then, oh, great, gotta do this, gotta... 8 hangers. I'm ready for it. Ready for action. Just watch me hang. Oh. We've got somebody new in the podcast this week. It's, Bram. I could get you some information on them if you'd like. Hold on. Gotta bring it up. Click this. Click that. And they're over at Bram Slots. The link is up there in the show notes. So, Bram, welcome to the podcast, and let's hear what story you've got for the challenge.
Hello, my name is Bram Slaats, and this is my story about butter. Good boy. It all happened so fast. 1 minute I was holding it in my hand, the next I stumbled over the dog. I watched as it flew in a wide arch up and away from me, twisting all the way, trying to decide how it wanted to land. Up, down, up, down, up. Splat! Sounds through the kitchen as the toast lands butter down on the floor. As I look at the mess it made, the dog runs from under the table and quickly snatches up the toast and devours it. From the table I hear my dad say, "Good boy." Read this and more on my site www.bramslaats.com. See you next time.
You see? That's how to plug your site. Isn't that cool? Just, hey, thank you for listening. Come on by my site. See you next week. Perfect. You'll fit right in. We even have a spot that's U-shaped. Perfect. Oh, and thank you. More? Oh, man. I'm gonna cough everything up this morning. Next up is Guy David. He's back. I think he's doing laundry too. Let's find out what's in the wash. Guy, tell us a story.
Drip, drippy, drippy, drops. 100 Word Stories by Guy David. DDDD.AM.
Rare Species Hunter. The bread and butterfly is a rare species indeed. It only comes out at special times a day, the shy little creature. The lighting has to be just right, and the air has to be just about the right temperature. The bread and butterfly would only eat the very rare golden monkey fruit, and it would only eat it if it's just about ripe enough. If you are on the hunt for the bread and butterfly, you'll have to observe all of those conditions precisely. Wear the right kind of camouflage, carry the right scented perfume, but most of all, you'll have to go through the looking glass.
Thank you, Guy David. I will wear special perfumes all day long. The Texas Regional is going on for NCAA baseball. The Aggies got beat, then they won. Rice won, then got beat. I think it's the Aggies against UT for the big thing now. Whatever.
Hope they both lose.
Wayne Graham is my shepherd. I shall not want. Next up, we have Jeffrey. Jeffrey, spin us a web in which we flies get all sticky and tangled, and then our juices sucked dry. Can you do that for us?
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, or good some other time of the day if it's not morning when you're listening to this. It's Jeffrey Fisher, and I'm here for week 423 on the topic of butter. Before I begin the stories, I'd like to congratulate Lawrence on 9 years of the podcast. 9 years is a long time. If I think back to what I was doing 9 years ago, I was in the same job, doing the same thing. I'm serving a life sentence. But at any rate, I was not writing 100-word stories. So congratulations to that, Lawrence. Also on the topic of all things Lawrence Simon, I had started listening to Space Casey 2, and I enjoyed the two lines of the alien space jerk, so good on you for that. I had actually listened to Space Casey when it came out, and since I wasn't participating in the podcast then, I did not know any of the people involved, including your humble host, but anyway, enjoying Space Casey 2. Looking forward to the rest of the podcast there. Anyway, I've got three stories today, so on with them. My first story is called Guns or Butter. When I first started taking economics classes, the canonical production trade-off was guns or butter. This confused me. I suppose it's possible to churn butter with the stock of a rifle, or to lob butter at the enemy in the hope of inducing heart attacks, but neither seemed efficient. At a more basic level, guns and butter aren't production substitutes, they're complements. A country needs to produce guns, and train an army to use them, in order to maintain the economic freedom for its citizens to be able to make butter, should they so choose. That's not the lesson we learned, but that's the important trade-off. And my second story is called The Right Simile. "I have a new knife," said Doug, pointing to the cutlery on the kitchen counter. "That's nice," said Frank, yawning. Frank preferred his potential murder weapons with a little more firepower and, to be honest, a little more distance. Frank was too squeamish for wet work. "It is nice. This knife is terrific. It slices through butter like a knife through butter." "Well, I was going to say, like a knife through margarine, but sure, your way works too." Okay, that one was a little silly, so I'll follow that up with one that's just as silly. My last story is called Melting Point. Roderick was very upset when he learned that his lovely girlfriend with the demure personality had cheated on him. This was no mere one-off fling with a stranger, but two prolonged affairs, each with a close friend of Roderick's. The person who informed Roderick of her infidelity said, "I know it's hard to take, but butter wouldn't melt in her mouth." When he killed her, he decided to see whether that expression was true. He crammed a stick of butter into her mouth, but her body was still warm, and the butter melted quickly. 2 hours later, he repeated the experiment, but the butter still melted, though more slowly this time. After a further 2 hours passed, her body was close to room temperature, and the butter, while it softened, never melted. Success! Those are my stories for this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
Thank you, Jeffrey, and thank you, Jeffrey. 9 years. It only feels like 9 years ago that... Oh. Actually, things started off at... there was 100 words or less Nessman. Those people wimped out. Hey, come on, guys. You want to record and, you know, put a... No. My voice sounds stupid. Well, mine does, too. But I'm doing it anyway, because I'm not a loser chicken shit. Oh, sorry. And then... What else? And then before that, there was a friend from college who wrote 100 of these things. And then I was like, okay, I'll write a few. And I put them on the back burner. And little did we know, the Wacky Adventures of Abraham Lincoln were born. So, yeah. And Space Casey, it was cool that Christiane Ellis remembered poor little old me and knew that I can do space jerks really well. And hopefully in Space Casey 3, maybe she'll just have me breathe for a second. So, it's cool. And the second episode is up. Third one will be coming. I'm telling you, Night Vale has gone straight into the toilet. Spend your time listening to Space Casey. You'll be glad you did. Space Casey has all the nutritional pod vitamins you need that you don't get from this Soylent podcast here. Although you're the ones who provide the nutrition. Me, I provide the cereal fillers. Like I am doing now. Oh, let's get some nuggety, meaty goodness from Richard. And by the way, those of you who write stuff in the notes as you send them in, I'm going to get better about replying within the replies instead of just the, hey, the newest is up, here's the next topic. Hey, here's the newest is up, it's the next topic. No, I'll get better about writing. Am I kidding? Here's Richard.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to tell you a story about some of my stories. Way back in Weekly Challenge 404, I had some problems with my email, and despite many attempts, the stories never actually made it to the podcast. Well, I feel bad about that, and I think it's only right that I put the record straight, and so, sorry Tom if this messes up the stats, and sorry everybody else if this is just completely inappropriate, but here are three stories from 404, which, ironically enough, was not found. And the first one is called Scrabble. My family are all uniquely qualified when it comes to language. They range from linguists and translators through to doctors of etymology. As you'd expect, family gatherings always descend into at least one game of extreme Scrabble. We don't play by the normal rules. That makes things far too simple. So we started creating our own variations. Words solely derived from Old English. Only palindromes permissible on a double word score, and words containing double diphthongs every other round. Eventually, even that became too easy. We still play Scrabble, but now we only allow words not found in the dictionary. And this one's called 404. I sighed. Once again, failure. The familiar 404, page not found, mocked me from the screen. I'd been so sure this time I'd strike lucky. It's good to have a hobby, and mine was collecting error codes. Not much of a hobby, I'll admit, but you'd be surprised how challenging some of the more elusive ones can be. I'd once spent weeks tracking down an elusive 508 loop detected, and now I was on the hunt for the most prestigious code of all. I knew it was out there. One day, I'd see those magical words on my screen. 418. I'm a teapot. And this one's called Not Found. I'm sorry, sir. It's coming up not found in our database. Well, I found it. There, on the shelf with all the others. I can't sell it to you without a code. There's nothing to scan. This is ridiculous. I can't get them elsewhere. I'm sorry, sir. Let me speak to the manager. Eventually, the manager sold it to me for more than it was worth, scanning a label from a more expensive one into the till. He waited for me to pay. I patted my pockets before looking at him sheepishly. I'm sorry. My wallet. Not found. And now, having satisfied my need for completeness, for which I do apologize, let's move on to Weekly Challenge 423, Butter. First story is George's Story, Part 59. It didn't take long before George realized the folly of leaving the sanctuary of the church without making preparations. Back there, at least, there'd been tea and biscuits. Now, as he rummaged through his rucksack, his rations amounted to a shriveled carrot, two tins of chopped tomatoes, and a crust of stale bread. Gnawing on the dry and unpalatable remains of the loaf, he found himself yearning for butter. Anything, really, just to make things a little more bearable. But there was nothing. Deflated, tired, and hungry, George trudged wearily onwards, feeling more lonely and lost than ever before. And moving on, this one's called Try Butter. Try butter, one helpful soul suggested. Well, they tried everything else, it was worth a go. They applied liberal helpings of the stuff all over my head and face. It was pretty disgusting. Worse still, it achieved nothing. My head was still firmly wedged between the railings. "It's no good, son. We'll just have to saw your ears off," said the burly fireman, wielding a shiny hacksaw. Terrified, in sheer panic, I violently jerked my head away, and suddenly, incredibly, I was free. But I haven't touched butter ever since. And you'll never get me to try it, either. And finally, this one's called Butter. We held our breath, waiting in silent anticipation. This moment would be the culmination of years of research by some of the most talented minds on the planet. Visions of Nobel Prizes, fame, fortune, and glory filled our thoughts. This was it, the Holy Grail, towards which we had dedicated our scientific endeavours. And now, finally, we were about to discover whether it had all been worthwhile. There was a gasp as the sample was released, followed by a huge cheer as we saw the result. There it was, in front of our eyes, a perfect landing, butter side up. And having taken far more of your time than I should have, I'll shut up now and leave you to it. Goodbye.
Richard, I like to say, use your best judgment when people ask me, should I do this? And most people have good judgment. And so if you want to put a few extra stories in to catch up in your weekly story file thing, it's okay. And if you want to post them separately and send them to me in a separate file, that's okay, too. I can get that up on the feed. That's how Tom did it a long time ago. There are other folks that have caught up and posted them. I think Spate has included one or two in the regular file. Whatever you think is reasonable, use your best judgment, and it'll be okay. Everything will be okay. And thank you, Richard. And I'm not too sure what else to say. So I'll just say, how about we listen to Julie for a bit? Ha 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 ha. Saved by the Bell.
Oh, hey, you guys. It's Julie. And, Butter? What's up with Butter? I had no idea what to do with Butter. But in any event, here is my weekly offering to the 100-word challenge. It is called Small Blonde Thing. I want to vanish, to be so tiny and precious that you will never find me hiding under the stairs. I will melt, white and pure, into the sheetrock of my attic room and watch what you did to me from the outside in. These days, I don't eat much. It's okay. I am clean. I am pure. You never touched me. It never happened, I tell myself. I measure my words and my food. The lightness of me is liberating. I float to the sky, away from you. Safe arms hold me. You will never apologize. You sick man. Okay, well, that's all I have to say. My shameless plug is musepalace.wordpress.com. Thanks, you guys, and see you next week.
Thank you, Julie. And a reminder to everybody, don't touch Julie. No touchy. Good. Behave yourselves. Now we have Tom. Oh boy, what has Tom got up his pants cuff today? I like to say sleeve, but I say sleeve every time. I'm going to branch out, try new things, and say pants cuff. Tom, let's hear it.
Hello, my people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Movement. Dionysius bumps Chelsea to take the 61st place, quite possibly moving into the top 60 with 15 stories. John and Julie moved into the 38th place with 26 stories. Spate pulls ahead of Chris the Nuclear Kid, a mere 3 stories behind Linda. Top teners. Singh has been in the top 10 for 60 weeks. Thomas, 95. Zachman, 147. Phil, 257. And Guy David, 350. And I have 2 stories tonight. The first story, Dr. Doctor. Bruce sat opposite the thoracic surgeon. He had been the Amin family doctor. He had come from a royal family. Now he was a rural doctor in Bumsfuck, California. He got out his plastic cutaway model and showed Bruce what had happened and what needed to be done. You've done a lot of these? Asked Bruce. Dr. D smiled, said, many. A bread and butter operation, returned Bruce. Dr. D laughed. By virtue of Bruce's wife, Anne, an FNP, he knew the secret undertext of the medical unseen universe and tossed the chip on the table. Yes, bread and butter. And story 2, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 52, coming up on a year. The dust of the Horlofs rolled towards the company. At 10,000 yards, the character of the bandits caused Tim to consider alternative scenarios. Unfortunately, that musing produced a rolling wave of fear. The doctor knew well that posture and the need for circumvention. What's your favorite food? He asked. Timmy hissed at the doctor, siphoning off fear to anger. Mine is cinnamon toast, creamery butter, sprinkled with confection sugar, lightly dusted with cinnamon, warmed to a golden brown. Nachos, grunted Timmy. Good. You see that fat guy on the left? He has your nachos. Timmy snorted, raised his rifle. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. I'm going to go play with matches now, because they're fun. They're fun for the whole family. Not just your sister or your brother or your Aunt Gertrude. I'm telling you, the whole family. If someone in your family doesn't like to play with matches,
I don't think they're related to you. They may be a foreigner.
Thank you, Tom. Next up, we have Lizzie, who I think is family. What? She likes to play with matches. Oh, wait. Uh-oh. I need to take a break and go get my laundry. While I'm getting my laundry and hanging up those 8 shirts with 8 hangers. That's right. Ha ha ha. Here's Lizzie.
Working at the restaurant was Kip's bread and butter. He didn't particularly enjoy being a waiter. Nevertheless, he was friendly to the customers and people seemed to genuinely like him. But in essence, his life was boring. However, every now and then he felt the lure of the illicit. When his boss asked him how the restaurant should be decorated for a Friday 13 scary night, he knew exactly how. The result was impressive. The skeletons look so real, said the customers, snickering nervously. His boss was happy with the extra clientele, and Kip smiled deceitfully, pretending to be human. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. I'd like to remind everyone that every participant in the weekly challenge is human, so far as I know. If you see lots of skeletons around, well, it's Halloween. Let's celebrate. Speaking of people that are human, why not Serendipity? Oh, wait, they use a robot voice. Right. Okay, well, that blows that idea out of the water. Wait, why were we putting ideas in water? Not sure. Ooh, if they're made of sodium, will they fizzle? Here's Serendipity.
You might say it was poetic justice. A chef murdered in his own kitchen with his own tools of the trade by one of his best-paying customers. He had it coming. Sloppy Joe had grown a little too sloppy for my taste. In the past 6 weeks, he hadn't cooked me a single decent meal. I'd had it with undercooked, overseasoned, badly prepared food. And one night I simply snapped. Tearing into the kitchen, I grabbed the nearest implement to hand. A cleaver. Throwing it straight at Joe. It sliced through his jugular. Like a knife through butter.
Remind me not to cook for you. Thank you, Serendipity. We're just tooling along here, getting this podcast done. I used all 8 of the hangers. What? Also, I got to get rid of all the dark underwear. I prefer lighter underwear for some reason. I don't know why. No one ever sees it. I don't ever see it unless it's in the... Well, that's why. It's easier to wash. Oh, okay. Although the darker ones, you don't see the stains. Let's not go there. Instead, let's go to Tura. And all of the stains on our soul. Oh.
The most secret and most important department of the civil service is the buttery. Its function is to prevent the government from doing anything too effective, for governments left unchecked tend to start going mad and killing everyone. Butters, as its members are called, are found on government committees, where they now and then interpose remarks such as, "But we must ensure continuing support for the laundry industry in the Northeast." A secret sign accompanying the dread word "but" calls to his covert colleagues for support with the butting. The chairman of the department is known as the head butter.
Thank you, Tura. I'm speechless. But I'd probably better say something. Here's Muncie. Let's find out what we are this month. It's always an adventure.
Greetings, jibber-jabberers. Muncie here, and unlike Mr. T, I have not had enough of your jibber-jabber. jibber-jabber away, because I just can't get enough. Who wants to hear a story? Here we come. Butter by Christopher Monroe. I can't believe it's not butter. By which I mean I can. I just don't. I don't know what sick game it is you're playing, what you hope to gain from spreading such an obvious lie, but it's butter. I know it's butter, you know it's butter, so let's come together and be real about it, here, now, together. It is butter. You are a liar, and it is fucking butter! I apologize for the profanity. Liars just make me so fucking angry is all. And such obvious lies, too. It's disrespectful. It's clearly butter. I can't believe it's not. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's my little tale, jibber-jabberers. I hope you liked the cut of my jib, because, as you no doubt have already ascertained, it's the only jib I got, baby. Is I can't believe it's not butter even a thing anymore?
I don't know. I'll take a look at the store, Munzee. I'm going to go shopping after this. Got to get milk. And, well, maybe it's not milk. Maybe I can't believe it's not milk. No, they call that soy milk, stupid. Oh, thank you, Munzee. Now you've got me all in a tizzy, and I'm jibber-jabbering. You know what I ought to do? I just ought to say, listen to Zach. He doesn't jibber-jabber. He shoots straight. Because he's a straight shooter. Plus, really, his targets are about a foot away. I mean, how could you not? I mean, here's Zach.
I have an idea for a game to play at the Dairyman's event. An idea? Will wonders never cease? Tell me about it, replied Joe. Butterball. Like baseball, only the ball is butter, Ernest explained. Will the referee say, butter up to the batter? No, to the pitcher. Will getting a ball make the batter better? I'm sure being hit by a ball will still make the batter bitter. Will it be the age of butterball? Asked Joe. Certainly. For every season, churn, churn, churn. And if butterball catches on, the best teams will face off in the popcorn bowl.
You know, I churned butter once. It was kind of fun. Until they told me there was nothing actually in the butter churn. Oh, well. Thank you, Zach Mann. I mean, after 2 hours, you'd think I'd realize that, no, they went off and had fun, and then, oh, yeah, we better pick him up. Little noisy one. Oh, enough about my deranged childhood. Chelsea is back. Yay! Chelsea has story. Yay! I'm going to let you hear it. Yay! Okay, here we go.
Butter by Chelsea. Stories usually come into my head fully formed, needing little or no tweaking once down on the page. Words run like the juice of a perfect peach down your hand, or the butter that drips off your chin when you sink your teeth into that first bite of summer corn. And sometimes the words are forced and stilted. No through line or concept presents. It's like there's a dictionary in my head that's caught in a tornado, and I can't catch two words that work together. This was one of those weeks. Just a tornado of words.
Thank you. Wait, hold it. What? Oh. Thank you, Chelsea. I just have to make sure that the recording is going on here. I'm going to bump up the microphone. There we go. All right. Loud and clear. Woohoo. Welcome back. Whew. Coffee? Sure. Why not? All right. Writing up my grocery list. Yummy stuff and stuff that's bad for me. I grilled steaks last night. Had some leftover charcoal, so I divided it into two portions. Tested the coal. Yeah, it works. Had to add a little bit of lighter fluid. And then did it again, did the steaks, and oh my God, they were so good. and then pineapples and pears. I didn't bother soaking them in cinnamon water, though. Maybe next time. What I do know is that if you soak Dionysus in cinnamon water, comes out even cinnamier. Yum.
Hi, it's Dionysus Close with some stories based on the prompt of butter. The first story is called Churn. There is a small boy seated on the back porch with his grandmother, although even this shows the effect of memory, since there is no porch big enough for even one person to sit, again, according to other memories. She is steadily shaking a jar filled with a white milky liquid as she rocks. What is the boy doing? All we know is that he is observing, perhaps wondering precociously at change flowing through and in things. The boy has a turn, but tires quickly. In time, a yellow mass forms from out of the white milk, which is no more. My second story is called Butter as Metaphor. Each morning, at precisely 6:35 a.m., Mr. Arthur P. Sledge began to spread precisely with his antique sterling silver butter knife 1 teaspoon of fresh unsalted butter onto the bottom of a carefully sliced cornbread muffin. He counted the seconds carefully as it melted. He was inordinately suspicious of alternate worlds where his muffin was a biscuit, toasted sliced bread, crumpet, his knife a plain table knife, butter, margarine, etc., 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 and the time of his beginning a cascade of disparate and conflicting times, disjoined ad infinitum. Inordinately, yet correctly, since his world, butter, butter knife, and muffin, etc., was the culmination of all the others. The next story is called Hot Buttered Rolls. Mrs. Quigley was the purveyor of hot buttered rolls to all, and she was very good. Mr. Quigley awoke each morning to find her already hard at it. Some say he churned the butter. She hustled about town the entire day and night. Here a roll for the elderly gentleman with special needs, there a basket of rolls for the hungry boys downtown, even a roll for the queer old maids who live together outside town. Hot and buttered to perfection, delivered with a simple smile and a wink. The Quigleys left town when the whisper started. How hollow our lives without a hot buttered roll. And my last story is called The Wisdom of Butter. Talu Bhutto had traveled worlds for wisdom and insight. At last he had come to the reclusive Master Tea. The Carganiantrixian Brugsian Master paused to sip from the cup of eternally warm Petrusian infusion before him. He smacked his lips appreciatively. Wisdom, he said, pausing. Talu waited. What was an eternity of waiting compared to the wealth he sought, to an eternity informed by wisdom? The ancient sage closed his eyes and said only one word, butter. Talu paused and said, as butter melts, so all is becoming. Fool, said the master, it is perfect on toast with a warm tea. Those are my stories.
Thank you, Dionysus. Did I say that right? What do you think, Tinny? Oh, your ears are twitching. Okay, what? Still going? Okay. Let's go with Spate, and we've got a few more. We just got a full lineup this week. This is kind of cool. Spate, let it roll.
Hey, it's me, Spate. I've got 2 stories again this week. Yep, I'm on a roll, just like butter. Here's hash part 8 and hash part 9. That night, when he slept, Davidson dreamt. He saw a crowd of men in a circle. They were focused on the center, yelling, making exaggerated pointing gestures. It was someplace he had never been, the stock market or a boxing match. Maybe a cockfight. He was gliding through the throng towards the middle, not walking, but standing still and riding. Moving sidewalk? Segway? No. Looking down, he saw that he rode on the flat end of a spatula, flying towards a gigantic black cast iron skillet with a pool of butter sizzling on the bottom. He was the hash.
The windows take me, I had such a view. The windows take me, I had such a view. Warm branches and an empty playground. From above, looking down. From above, I said looking down. From above.
It wasn't butter. The cons called the small, square, pale, yellow pats blubber. It would mockingly say, "I can't believe it's not butter." They got two with every meal. Being tasteless, they had no real food value other than as a lubricant when swallowing whatever stale, dry, cockroach leftovers of bread or muffin that got tossed onto their tray with the usual chow. But in prison, idle creative minds always devised extraordinary uses of ordinary items. Davidson awoke from his dream and checked his stash. 57 blubber pats still stuck to the underside of his rack. His plan was intact.
Thank you, Sing. Wait, no. Spate. No, I mean... I'm all confused now. Thank you, Spate. The whale blubber patties are... I'm going to add those to my grocery list. Oh, man. I just... Sing just sent in the next chapter of... Foreign Madam and... I need more coffee. I need to make more coffee. Who wants coffee? Raise your hand. I can't see your hands. But I got his thing posted, and... Okay, we'll get this done, and I'll stop being so confused. Next up... Oh, Norval Joe isn't the last person in the... Okay, cool. We got more folks coming in. More at the door. There's always room. And if you're a little late and get up on the feed, no problem. It's what we do here for 9 years. Oh, sorry. Here's Narval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 423 with a prompt of butter. I was trying to think of something witty to say that I thought of while listening to the weekly challenge last week, but I've completely forgotten what it was. So here is my story. Winkler threw up his hands and walked away from the time machine. Not only had it sent him to alternate worlds instead of the past, after 25 hops, the battery was dead. This world looked much like his own. There were humans, animals, and plants, which were all familiar. The remarkable differences were, first, the lack of electricity. The second, the lack of men. Outside the door, a crowd of 200 women waited. The first to pin him to the ground would get to keep him. Naked, Winkler smeared butter over his body and prepared to run for his life. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. I thought I had something clever to say, but I totally forgot in the space that was read. I could say something about Maya Angelou. I mean, she wrote some pretty stuff, but really, Google a little deeper. Yeah. That's some strange stuff. Anyway, how many years was she at the university, not teaching any classes, but paid hundreds and thousands of dollars? How do the taxpayers feel about that? Hey, yeah, we could be teaching science and engineering and physics and computers. No, let's dump a few hundred thousand a year on a poet who doesn't teach. Man, teachers who don't teach. That's the future. Where can I get that job? Okay, I did go there. What? Okay, let's go with Danny and see what fun and hackles he's going to raise. Always an adventure. If your hackles aren't raised by now, well, get them up.
Ah, here we go. Take two. Danny Dwyer here, and this is my entry for Weekly Challenge 423. Butter, or some type of butter substitute. So get your bread ready. Here we go. I witnessed the closing of Mad City on Da Vinci Isle in Second Life yesterday. With that, another organization, New York Healthscape, is slowly pulling out of Second Life. Now another great sim that made the platform a Second Life worth exploring is gone. With each entity or organization that leaves Second Life, the platform slowly inches forward to becoming a digital ghost town. Kilroy was here, but has instead gone to another platform where copyrights possibly remain intact. With many organizations pulling out of Second Life, it's easy to believe Linden Labs is not butter, because they certainly have no bread. And if you want to see more of my stories, you come visit me at dannydwyer.wordpress.com. Been a bit sick lately, so hopefully I can keep working on my WordPress page and actually make it look worth something. So, have fun.
Thank you, Danny, and it's okay if your WordPress page uses a basic template. Mine? Simple Basic Template, 2014. I kept it simple. I didn't want to go all crazy. I didn't want to add in all sorts of clunky crap that takes forever to download. Get it up, get it read, get it done. As for all that, the Mad City or whatever, except one thing, what was the purpose of New York Healthscape? I thought it was meant to, interactively teach people about healthcare choices and all that. Go to their website and then ask, How does Second Life fit into that? What does all this poetry and adventure stuff and all of that help the taxpayers who paid for those, who paid for the grants that got those Sims up? I, for one, think that these Sims should have been gone long ago, and the money never wasted on this stuff. But hey, that's just me. A little corruption goes a long way, and it's not like it's my money. It's you New Yorkers' money. How do you feel about that? Okay, now that I'm inciting and dividing people, let's conquer them. Conquer them with Cliff. Cliff, tell us a story.
What is a Cthulhu? I asked the apparent leader. He lifted his shirt to reveal a tattoo of a squid-faced creature. That's your god? I couldn't help but laugh. He looks like he ought to be on the menu at Joe's Crab Shack with a sweet butter sauce. Instead of laughter, the only response I got was that all the cultists pulled long daggers and glared at me. That's when the door opened, and I saw a woman holding a badge. After the first cut, I just closed my eyes and prayed to anyone who could hear me.
I can hear you. Pray to me. Pray to me. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Cliff. And now I want to go to Joe's Crab Shack. But I don't want crabs. Oh, well, I'll leave my hands off the waitress. One more? Let's get this done. 9 years of these stories. 9 years. Think we'll make it to 10? Woo! And we'll say, like, well, is this the longest storytelling thing? I don't know. Dr. Floyd has been out there a long time, but hasn't been, like, every day. Adam Curry jumps from podcast to podcast, so I don't think that counts. Escape Pod? That's monthly, but I guess so. Plus, they put a lot of effort into theirs. Me, I just record, put it over a backing track, and that's done. And this, really? Okay, so I can't drag and drop everything to Audacity and it automatically lines up. I still have to drag things around. That takes effort. Really? I don't know. How about I just get Planet Z in here and we finish things off? Does that sound fair?
Instead of spreading butter on my bread, I like to dip it in a plate of olive oil with fresh ground black pepper, rosemary, and Parmesan Reggiano. Most restaurants have those, but if you ask them for all that, you're probably going to annoy your waiter. Not even the Macaroni Grill does all that. They put out a plate of olive oil and grind the pepper, but the rosemary and Parmesan don't come easy. Sure, you can bring your own, but it's easier to bring a gun. Now, do I get Parmesan and rosemary on this plate, or your fucking brains?
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of butter. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week. Whether you had one story, whether you had 100, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000. I don't think anyone's had 1,000,000,000 stories. Tom, could you check that, please? But anyway, thank you all for being a part of the weekly challenge, whether you listened, sent in stories. Oh, I don't know, left a comment, perhaps. I just... And I'm not too sure what else to say, but... next topic is going to be tell us about an unpublished labor of Hercules. So he had all those well labors, the 12 labors of Hercules. What's one that didn't make the edit? Let's get fun here. So we're going to have a whole thing on Hercules next week. So thank you all for listening. And as always, one a day until the day I die. We're on the road to year 10. Crazy, huh? I'll see y'all next week. Until then, as always, keep it brief.